week.
All right, I didn't see
it. I know why I'm having a problem getting your attention. My name is Rabbi Gold. I haven't been here for a while, but I'm back. Thank you very much. I was waiting for somebody to say that. It may sound like the kind of thing that I say often. I can't help it, so it's all right. So I say it. The Haftorah for the first day of Rosh Hashanah is one of my favorites. It will, of course, continue to be my favorite until I get to the Haftorah for the second day of Rosh Hashanah. The Haftorah of the first day of Rosh Hashanah is something that I have personally studied often, and every time I return to it, I find even greater meaning than I had seen before. So we're going to learn the Haftorah for the first day of Rosh Hashanah. And the fact is, even this Haftorah can be studied over a period of weeks. But listen, we'll see what will happen. It's the first chapter of Sefer Shmuel, plus the first 10 psukim of the second chapter of Shmuel. And it's the story of Elkanah and Hannah. Now, the basic reason that the Gemara tells us why is this Haftorah read on Rosh Hashanah? Because the Gemara says, V'Rosh Hashanah nifgida Sarah Rachel v'Chana. On Rosh Hashanah, Sarah, Rachel, and Chana, who were barren, were remembered by God and blessed with children. So therefore, of course, what that means, therefore, is the Torah reading of the first day of Rosh Hashanah is V'Hashem pokadet Sarah, God remembered Sarah, and she gave birth to a child, Yitzchak. The Haftorah of the first day of Rosh Hashanah is the birth of Shmuel to Chana. And the Haftorah for the second day of Rosh Hashanah is the Haftorah of Rachel, in Sefer Yirmiyahu, Rachel cries for her children as they are taken out into exile, and God gives her the great promise, V'shavu banim l'gvulam, the children will return. In a sense, she also is promised that she will receive her children in return, and they will come back to Eretz Yisrael. So Sarah, Rachel, Hannah, we're remembered by God on Rosh Hashanah. But I think that the Haftorah has a great deal more to say about the whole idea of tshuva. And that's what I will be looking for in the course of this Haftorah. That the whole idea of repentance, our relationship with God, all comes to the fore in this Haftorah. So let's begin by Ish Echad. Min haramatayim tzofim behar Ephraim. There was a man from a place called Ramatayim tzofim in the mountains of Ephraim, and the Mepharshim say Ramatayim tzofim two ramot. A ramah is a high place. Two high places tzofim that see one another. Targum Yonatan ben Uzziel says Ramatayim, the heights of Tzofim, those who are able to see. Elkanah was a prophet. He had the unique ability to be able to see prophetically. The heights of those who see. The Ma'amim of all things is simply going to say that the Damar was a place where people from the family of Tzuf live. And take a look at this pasuk. Ushmo, this man that we're talking about, his name is Elkanah ben Yeroham ben Elihu ben Tohu ben Tzuf. He learns simple. There was a family called Tzuf, and the area where they lived was called Tzofim from the name Tzuf, and he was Ephrati. Ephrati can either mean from Ephraim or the land of Ephraim. he's not from the tribe of Ephraim because he is a Levi. In Divrei Hayamim, we are given the genealogy of Elkanah, taking him back all the way to Levi. And Shmuel, of course, who's going to be born to him, is going to be, he is a Levi, by virtue of the fact that Elkanah is. V'lo shtei nashim. He had two wives. Shem achat Chana, v'shem hashenit Penina. One's name was Chana, and obviously her name is mentioned first because he had married her first, v'shem hashenit Penina, and the second one was called Penina. Now, when it says v'lo shtei nashim, then you have to understand that he was the exception to the rule. Never make the mistake of thinking that marrying more than one wife was very common practice among the Jews throughout all of history, and that maybe only in the last number of centuries it changed. It was never the common practice by Klal Yisrael. Never. You go through Tanakh, you'll find that just about everybody had only one wife, except for the exceptions. And for each exception, there were exceptional circumstances. And the circumstances of Elkanah with Hannah and Penina were precisely the circumstances of Abraham, Sarah and Hagar. Hannah didn't have children, so she wanted her husband to take another wife so that she should, in a sense, be built through this other wife. Lo shtei nashim, he had two nashim. Others didn't. I don't know. Aaron, Akohen had one wife. Moshe had one wife. Yitzchak had one wife. Go throughout Tanakh, wherever you want. Keep looking. Only in the unusual and the exceptional cases, there were kings that had more than one wife. Most of the kings had only one wife alone. So there never really was a period in Jewish history where having more than one wife was the common practice at all. And therefore you understand the words v'lo. For him, there were two wives. Circumstances were such that Chana is the one who wanted him to take another wife. Shem achat Chana v'shem hashenit Penina b'hi l'Penina yelodim u'l'chana ein yelodim. Penina had children and Chana did not have children. V'olo ha'ish ha'hu me'iro miyamim yamima. That man would go up from his city from time to time. It either means from year to year or from yantif to yantif. He would go l'hishtachavot to bow down to l'zvoach and to bring sacrifices l'Hashem tzvakot b'shiloh to God, the God of hosts in Shiloh. Now, we're talking about a period of time that is long before David had conquered Yerushalayim and the foundations were laid for the Beit HaMikdash in Yerushalayim. There were a period of about 350 years that the Mishkan that was built in the desert was still moving from place to place, and one of the places where it remained for quite a while was in Shiloh. And this man would go up from his city to bow down before God in Shiloh. V'shom Shnei b'nei Eli, Chofni u'Pinchas Ver, the two sons of Eli, Chofni and Pinchas, who were priests, Kohanim LaHashem. Now there's something unusual about this pasuk, and we need to take a look at the Medrash right away in order to understand what the meaning of this pasuk is. That man would go. What do you mean that man would go? That man would go would leave the impression as though other Jews were not Ole Regel. Just like there was a halacha of Aliyah Leregel going up and bringing sacrifices in Yerushalayim, the same thing applied before Jews ever came to Yerushalayim. What do you mean that man went? What about hundreds of thousands, millions of other Jews? They didn't go up. So we're going to find out that yes, Jews didn't go. Now if you want to know why Jews didn't go, that's why the pasuk here introduces something which is really not going to be important until later, except for the fact that it does explain something right now. The conduct of Chofni and Pinchas, who were the two sons of Eli, who was then the Kohen Gadol, their conduct was such that people did not find it pleasant to go to Shiloh. There's a lot to talk about that, but that's not going to be the subject of the shiur. But what's most amazing is a beautiful medrash. Beautiful, beautiful medrash. The medrash is very powerful, and I find now even deeper meaning in that medrash. Turn over to the other side. Number one. That man would go up. He would go Ola Degel to Shiloh. The Medrash says, Nit Aleh Beito, he rose to greatness in his house. Nit Aleh Dechatzedo, he grew amongst in the neighborhood in which he found himself. Nit Aleh Beiro, he grew in greatness in his city. Nit Aleh Bechol Yisrael, he became higher than all of Israel. Ultimately, Elkanah became a prophet as well. Bechol Iluyav Lo Hoya El Mishel Atzmo. All of his growth was all by virtue of his own great effort. A human being is capable of rising to greatness all on his own. There's really nothing that stands in his way. And Allah Ha'ishahu represents the idea not merely of Elkanah going geographically upward to Shiloh, but it's talking about the inner Elkanah growing in stature, growing in his spiritual greatness, and everything goes has to go step by step. There are no ways to jump steps and instantly to grasp for the heavens. In his home, in his neighborhood, in his city, and then ultimately, the whole Israel. Lehishtachavot, the pasuk goes on to say that man went up. Lehishtachavot, lezbach, to bow down and to sacrifice. Rav Abba bar Yosef, b'shem Rav Yitzchak. Rav Abba bar Yosef said in the name of Rav Yitzchak, katfilo gedolo min ha-korbanos. This is fascinating. Rav Abba bar Yosef said, prayer is greater than sacrifice. Dechtiv, because it says, lehishtachavot, to bow down. Bow down is to prostrate oneself in prayer. That precedes lizboach, to bring sacrifices. Rabbanon Andi, Rabbanon say, tfilos shkulo k'neged kol ha-korbanos. The rabbis go one step further, they say prayer is equal to all sacrifice. Equal. All sacrifice. The power of prayer. The power of prayer. I always had the feeling that this was said by Chachmei Yisrael after the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash, in a sense to console Jews that they had lost. They have lost the ability to bring sacrifice. They have to understand that tefillah, one can achieve a closeness to God through prayer, just as one could through sacrifice. Elkanah v'ishto, now here you have to hear the story. This is the story of Elkanah. Elkanah v'ishto, Elkanah and his wife, his sons, v'achyotov, his brothers, his sisters, the whole krovov, and all of his family, Hayam Malei Molad Egel. He took them all with him. Took the whole family. They're all on their way. Uboim v'lonim b'rechov v'chalir. They came and they would camp out in the middle of the city. Now you have to remember, this was a time at which Jews stopped going to Shiloh. And for Olah HaYishavu, that man begins the process again. And he takes his family, and they come, and they camp out in the middle of the city on their way to Shiloh. Vaita hamedina meragesheth, and the country all around, there was a sense, a feeling of excitement. You felt it. For yushalin otan, and they would ask them, leheichon teleich, where are you going? Where are you going, Elkanah? Vaundim, And they would say, Lebeit Hashem Shevi Shiloh, we're going to the house of God in Shiloh. Shevishon Teitzei Torah and Mitzvot, from there goes out Torah and Mitzvot. Va'atem Loma Lo Tavo Imanu, why don't you come with us, V'nei Leit Yachad, and we'll go together? Come on, let's go to Shiloh. Miyad Eineyem Mishagrod Dema'ot, their eyes would begin to pour with tears. Omer Lehem, and they would respond by saying, we're going with you, Elkanah. We're joining you on the way to Shiloh. And they said, yes. Till the following year, Chamisha Batim, five families would join him. Lishona Acheret, the next year, 10 families would join him. Ad Shehayu Kulam Olim, until all of them would come with him. The way in which the route that he took one year, he would not take the following year. Every year he took a different route, went through different towns, villages, hamlets in Eretz Yisrael. He and his family would camp out in the middle of town. Where are you going, Elkanah? I'm going to Shiloh. Come with us. Archo Yukulam Omrim. Amalak Kodesh Baruch Hu. HaKodesh Baruch Hu said to Elkanah, Archo Hichrata Et Yisrael Lekaf Zchut. You incline the Jewish people for merit. V'chinachtam B'mitzvot. You taught them to perform mitzvahs. V'zochu Rabim Al Yodcha. And many received merit because of you. Ani Otzi Nimcho Ben. I'm going to bring from you a son, Sheyachriya Yisrael Kafschut, that is going to tip the scales in favor of the Jewish people for merit, v'chanechotam b'mitzvot, and he will educate them in mitzvot. Hola madata. What a powerful, powerful line in a medrash. Hola madata. From this you learn, Shebeschar Elkanah, Shmuel. The reward for Elkanah is Shmuel. It's an amazing medrash. You know what it means? The determination of one individual can make all the difference in the world. One man can change the habits and the conduct of all of Israel. All you have to know is not to be frustrated, not to throw your hands up in resignation. You just keep going. And the way you go one year, you don't go the next year. You'll get a few families with you this year, another few next year. And you know what's going to happen? The moment will come at which you are going to radically change all of Israel. There are two words in this medrash that just, as I learned in Medrash this year, oy, did it strike me. And I'm going to take you to the Rambam, Hilchos Tshuva, right next to it. Famous Rambam. Everybody knows the first half of the Rambam. I'm going to learn the first half of the Rambam, because one has to learn the first half of this Rambam every year. But I really want to get to the second half of the Rambam. Even though the sounding of the shofar on Rosh Hashanah is a gzeirat hakatuv, the Torah requires it. Remez yeshbo, there is an added meaning. Remez yeshbo. What is the remez? What does it indicate? It contains an illusion. Even though the sounding of the shofar on Rosh Hashanah is a decree, it contains an illusion. It is as though Klomad is as though the shofar is saying, Uru Yishenu Mishtaschem, wake up you sleepy ones from your sleep. V'nirdomim Hokitzu Mitarvimaschem, and those of you who slumber awake from your slumber, V'chapsu B'maaseichem, inspect your deeds. V'chizru B'tshuva, repent.
V'zichru bo rachem, and remember your Creator. Elu hashokachim et ha'emet v'havlei hazman, those who forget the truth because of the nonsense of the times, that we get into a rut, we get into patterns, we sometimes have to shake ourselves free of all the routine of our lives. We showed him kol shnosam behevel v'dik, and there are people who devote all of their energies for nothingness and emptiness, asher lo yoel v'lo yatzel, that doesn't benefit and doesn't save. Habitul in ashotechem. Look clearly at your souls. Ve'itivu darchechem uma'alalechem, and improve your ways and your deeds. V'yazov kol echad mikem darko hara'ah umachshavto ashalotava. Every person should forsake the evil path upon which he finds himself, and the evil thoughts, the thoughts that are not good. Lefichach. This is part two of the Rambam. Tzorech kol adam sheyira atzmo kol hashono kula. You know how a person is supposed to look at himself? Ke'ilu chetzev zakai v'chetzev chayev. As though he's equally balanced. Same amount of mitzvahs, same amount of averus. He is perfectly balanced between merit and sin. Chetzev zakai, chetzev chayev. V'chein kol ha'olam. You have to look at the whole world as though the whole world is chetzev zakai v'chetzev chayev. Half with merit and half with guilt. In other words, the world situation is very precarious. The world is perched and so teetering on the edge of an abyss, which now means the whole world is in man's hand. If he does one sin, do you hear the word hichriya? Isn't that the word that the Medrash used with regard to Elkanah? Elkanah, you inclined all of Israel. You bent the scales to merit for all of Israel. Elkanah is the man who the Rambam could be talking about. If one sins, one sin, he has inclined himself and the whole world, to the side of guilt, the goram lo hashchosa, and has caused destruction. But what about also mitzvah achas? If he does one mitzvah, man does one mitzvah, he has bent, inclined the scales, his personal scale, and the scale of the whole world, lekavskut, for merit. V'goram lo v'lehen tshuva v'hatzolah, and he has caused for himself and for them great salvation and great rescue. Shenema v'tzadik yesod olam. The tzadik is the foundation of the world. The Rambam has his own unique pshat in this pasuk. Zesh et tzadak, the one who did the right thing, he has inclined the scales in favor, he tipped the scales in favor of himself and the whole world. Who's the one who tips the scales of Klal Yisrael? One man. That's what the Medrash is saying. All you need is one man. What's the Rambam saying? One man. One man doing one mitzvah. This Rambam that I had used a number of times in the past, and as I thought about the Rambam again, I came to a more radical conclusion than I had come in the past. I may have told you some years ago when I was talking with somebody who was planning that his party should abstain in the Knesset on a very serious vote. It goes back about 12 years ago. And he said, we're going to abstain. That morning, I had learned this Rambam. It was during the month of El, so you learned the Rambam? Mm-hmm. So I learned the Rambam. So I told him, listen, I just learned this Rambam. Now the Rambam posits two possibilities. The two possibilities are, when the world is hanging in the balance, somebody will do a mitzvah, or somebody will do an aveira. I asked him, why doesn't the Rambam posit a third possibility? He'll abstain. He'll do nothing. Then I was a bit angry. That happens very rarely. But then I was angry and I said, obviously the Rambam is telling us a human being takes a position. Abstaining is not the conduct of an intelligent human being. I mean, I left, of course, the impression that it's pretty bad. That's exactly the impression I wanted to leave. That's what I was saying. But then, studying the Rambam again, the Rambam's saying something more profound. If you have in your hands the possibility of saving yourself and the whole world, and you do nothing, there's no greater sin than that. The non-act of abstention is a destructive act. You could save the world. What do you mean you're not going to save the world? The very doing nothing is the greatest aveira of all. You don't even have to do an aveira. You don't even have to do an aveira. Just the fact that here you have the opportunity to incline and tip the scales of the whole world for good, and you don't do it, that's an aveira. It will be one of the messages in an article that I'm writing about the silence of major segments of the Orthodox Jewish community during the course of the last year and a half. Silence is simply unacceptable. Unacceptable. And that a lot of people and organizations are going to have to make a cheshbon ha-nefesh. They're always the one that tell us we have to make a cheshbon ha-nefesh. Or is there a cheshbon ha-nefesh? Cheshbon ha-nefesh that's going to have to be made, I tell you. There are a lot of people and organizations, I don't have a clue how they can stand up on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur and ask for rachamim from the Rabbeinu Shalom when they were not tuned in to the cries of 10,000 Jews who are being pursued a low over the kapam. I done nothing wrong. Silence, the Rambam is saying, there's a world out there to be saved. You can't remain silent. You have to take a position. You don't take a position, we don't hear from you, we don't know from you, you have nothing to say about it, you don't have an opinion. Unacceptable. Unacceptable. I may say something very radical. Even the one who may have been in favor of this terrible tragedy may be better than the one who remained silent. So he made a decision. I assume that he thought it out. And he came to an incorrect conclusion, but he thought about it. The one who remained silent? What are you talking about? There are scales that are to be tipped over here. If you do nothing, you've abandoned the world. That's Elkanah. Elkanah. Holomadato. What a sentence. What a powerful sentence that is. Holomadato, from this you learn. Beschar Elkanah, the reward for Elkanah, is Shmuel. Shmuel is going to be the one who's going to begin a completely new era, a new epic in all of Jewish history. Shmuel is really going to be the first of the great prophets. There were prophets before him, but the period of the Nevi'im begins with Shmuel. Shmuel is the one who's going to unite all of Israel. And by his uniting all of Israel, you know what he's doing? He's walking in the footsteps of his father. His father Elkanah united all of Israel in order to bring them back to Shiloh. That's exactly what Shmuel is going to do. Hol amadata shebischar Elkanah Shmuel. You always have to look at yourself and the world evenly balanced over there. And what you're going to do in the next minute can make all the difference, literally, in the world. Make all the difference in the world. That's one. Let's go a little further. Vayi Ayom, the day came. Pasuk Dalet, back. Vayi Ayom, the day came. By Yizbach Elkanah. V'natan l'pnina yishto l'chol b'ne'u noter manot. Elkanah brought the sacrifice and he gave to Penina, his wife, and to all her sons and daughters he gave them portions. L'chano yitein mono achat apayim, and to Chano he gave a double portion. Ki'et Chano ahev, because he loved Chano v'Hashem sohar rachma, and God had closed her womb. V'chi asata tzorata gam kas. Tzorata is her... her other, the tzara over here in the house is Penina. She would anger her. Bavur harima. This is an unbelievable pasuk. Her rival, the English says, her rival would provoke her again and again. Bavur harima, in order to anger her. Ki sogar Hashem beyadrachma, because God had closed the womb. I mean, the Medrash says terrible, terrible things. The Medrash says that she would tell Penina, did you buy a little suit for your little boy? Did you feed your children yet? I mean, you know, very cruel, terrible things she would say to her. Terrible, cruel things. And the purpose of it was bavur har ima, in order to provoke her and anger her. No. You may have difficulty with this, and if you have difficulty with this, you're okay. Don't worry about it. The Gemara says Penina l'shem shamayim miskavna. Penina's intention was l'shem shamayim. According to the Malbim, this happened only when they were in Shiloh. And they had come to pray. She wanted the prayer of Chana to be so intense. So she got her more and more upset about the fact that she doesn't have children. And therefore she would taunt her. But of course, L'shem Shamayim, Ba'avur Har'ima. You know, tell you the truth, if you have to choose mitzvahs already, this is one mitzvah I wouldn't choose. I wouldn't choose.
What is the meaning of
it? Harima? To get her upset. To get her upset, yes.
And Hashem punished Penina afterwards. So you must have done wrong.
You're right. So take a look on the other side, and we'll take you to number four. Ukrabiyarnu, this is Rav Chaim Shmulevitz, was a Shiva, the very Yeshiva. In Sichot Musa, he says, "Tebarvedo shebein adam lechavedo lo mo ilar kavana tova. Avedos bein adam lechavedo. There is no such thing as good intentions. L'shem shamayim. There's no such thing. Vafilu also v'nitkavim l'shem shamayim. And even if somebody did something and the intention indeed was l'shem shamayim." Ukemoshe Matsinu Bipinina, as we find with regard to Penina, Shamnu Chazal, our rabbi said, Kilashem Shamayim Mitkavna, V'apaldikain. Nensha be'ofen chomor kol kach. She lost her children. She was punished in such a terrible way. She made to banel that her children died. As it says, pasuk later, v'rabat banim umlala, the one that had many children, ended up being unfortunate. She was really a righteous woman. It must be very difficult for her to cause pain to Chana. The whatever she did only in order to bring Chana to greater prayer. From Penina's point of view, it was so painful for her to do it. It was mysterious nefesh. She had only Chana's best interests in mind. Ubecholzot, and despite all of that, manodra onsha. How awesome, how frightening, how terrifying is a punishment. The kol kach lama. Why? Listen to what Rav Chaim says. Ki hapogea b'chaveiho, the one who hurts a friend, yiyu machshivotam asher yiyu. Makes no difference what his intentions are. Hadeyu kimak nistiyado l'toch tanur eish. It's like putting your hand in to an oven that's burning with fire. And listen, in the ve'en hakavona hatova, next line, ve'en hakavona tova yecholah l'shanot mezeh mu'ma. The good intentions don't change anything. Hasakona, last sentence. Hasakona sheba'avedo shebein odom ha'avedo he mitziut tivit. He says it's built in, it's a law of nature, God's nature. Mamish kishen shoha'esh sorefet b'derech hateva. Just like by nature fire burns, an aveda bein odom l'chaveda consumes the person who does it. It's built into God's world. And you can have all the best intentions you want. The best intentions are not going to save you. The idea of being Adam Lechavero is so serious, so serious. And I have a feeling that probably that's another one of the reasons why we read it on Rosh Hashanah. In order to prepare one for the process of Tshuva. So we already have had two fundamental principles of Tshuva. We have Elkanah who tells us precisely as the Rambam says, got the whole world in your hand, all depends on you. And Penina is there to tell you, you can't abstain, and you can't try and be the one who does the so-called mitzvah, l'shem shemayim. Go find yourself other mitzvahs. No mitzvah. There's no mitzvah to cause any kind of pain or suffering to a fellow human being. That's out of the question. Frightening, frightening story. Eish! Do you understand? It's eish! Just as fire by nature burns, causing suffering, pain, embarrassment to a fellow human being. Bad news. Very bad. Let's go further back. V'chein yaseh shana v'shana. This is what he did year by year. Elkanah did this every year. He'd take the family up. And Penina would pull the same thing every year too. It's from here that the Malbim says that Penina didn't do it at home. She only did it when they were in Shiloh. When she went up to the house of God, so she would anger her. She cried, and she couldn't eat. Chana couldn't eat. Elkanah, her husband, said to her, Chana, vei, lome, tivki. Why do you cry? Veloma, lome. It's very important. The word is going to be appear here three times, and the word could be either lo ma with a comet or lo meh with a segol. The Balei Digduk say, Lo Meh with a segel is a very soft question. Lama is, you know, you can ask somebody, why did you do that? Why did you do that? Or you could say, why? You know, why? One is, you know, sort of an attack, and the other is, I care about you. I'm interested. I want to know. That's why each one of the three is written with a segel, lomeh, the soft. Why do you cry? Why don't you eat? Lomeh yein alavavech. Why is your heart so bad? Halo anochi tovlach me'asor abonin. I'm better to you than 10 sons. Some years ago, I have a whole shiur just on this statement of... No, that's a statement already. I imagine the question mark is on the whole pasuk. Why are you crying? Why aren't you eating? I don't think he's asking her, am I not better to you than 10 children? That happens to be the statement, and because of that he's asking her, since that is true, that I'm better than 10 children, so therefore my question is, why don't you eat? Why don't you drink? Why are you crying? Why is your heart so bad? So we gave quite a share of this, that here Elkanah seems to be leaving the impression that he is so tuned into her. This was the worst sentence he could have said. The worst statement that Elkanah could have made to Hannah was, I am better to you than 10 sons. Because all of a sudden, she realizes two things. Elkanah is the Gadol b'Yisrael. And Elkanah, the Gadol b'Yisrael, has just told her, I've given up hope on you ever having a child. When he tells her that I'm better to you than 10 sons, he's really telling her that, you know, so you got me. You don't have children, but you have me. The Medrash even goes on to say, he didn't say ani, he said anochi, because he also wanted to tell her that your relationship with God, anochi, Hashem Elokecha, you can have that relationship with God even if you don't have children. You can have that relationship with God under any circumstances, under all circumstances. But she learns now that Elkanah has given up hope. She now knows that her husband, the Gadol b'Yisrael, is no longer going to pray for her. She's learned something else that may even be far more disturbing to her. She has learned that he doesn't really understand this most basic feeling of all. You don't know what it means to me to have a child. What do you mean you're better? I love you. You're great. You'll never be better than one child. He doesn't understand her. He doesn't understand the depth of her feeling. You know what it means now? Who are the two people? Who are the two people who, for all intents and purposes, are the closest to her? Penina and Elkanah. I mean, she's lost Penina. I mean, that's all over. There's no relationship there. She's lost Elkanah. She's lost him. He doesn't understand her. He simply doesn't understand her. And if you think that's all that happens, watch another few psukim. And this is something that I realized only this time around, learning this. Zatokum Chana. Chana got up acharei achlo b'shilo v'acharei shaso, after the eating and after the drinking in Shiloh. It can mean, you know, after they finished eating and drinking, but she didn't. Or maybe even to make him happy, she sort of made believe, sort of, she's eating, she's drinking.
Ve'eli HaKohen Yosheva HaKisei, and Eli the Kohen is sitting on his chair, on the Zuzat Heichal Hashem, by the doors into the house of God. V'hi Marat Nofesh, she was very bitter, Vatit Palel Al Hashem, and she prayed to God, U'bachot Tifke, and she cried. Vatit Har Neder, and she made a vow, and she said, Hashem Tzfakot, God of Hosts,
by the way, she knows that she doesn't have anybody else in the world. By the way, the Medrash says she's been barren for 18 years. This is the 19th year that they've been coming to Shiloh. The 19th year. You know what it means? God may say no for 18 years. Then he says yes in the 19th. No prayer is simply lost. It doesn't disappear into thin air. Medrash says, what? Sarah? How long was Sarah and Akara? How long was Rivka and Akara? How long was Rachel? Hannah is 18 years. This is the 19th year. She made a vow and she said, "Imro tideh, ba'ani amatecha, if you will see the pain of your maidservant, who is a chartani, and you will remember me, v'lo tishkachat amatecha, and you will not forget your maidservant, v'notata, and you will give to your maidservant zera anashim, seed of man, v'nintasiv l'ashem kol yamei chayav, I will give him over to the heart to God all the days of his life, u'morolo ya'ale al rosho, a scissor shall not go up upon his head. He will be a nazir to God." There are others who learn that Morolo Yala Rosha means he will not suffer the fear of a human being. Alright, that's something separate to be taught. Vahoyaki here, Vitalit Palel of Hashem, and it happened that as she continued to pray before Hashem, Eli is watching her mouth. Speaking to her heart. Only her lips move. The kololo Yishamea can hear her voice. And Eli thought that she was drunk. And Eli said to her, "Ad matai tishtakoin? How long are you going to be drunk? Remove your wine from you." You know what's happened right now? Under other circumstances, she would have felt to herself, "Listen to this, Eli, I'd say he doesn't know him, he's an old man." Yeah. You know what it means now? She doesn't have Penina. She doesn't have Elkanah. Eli is the Kohen Gadol, the Shofet, the greatest Jew of them all of that generation. She doesn't have him. In the soul in the world that understands her, she's going to tell him, "Don't you know that I'm a woman who's bitter?" What did Elkanah? The fact is, when Elkanah says, "Why are you crying? Why don't you eat? What do you mean?" You know, the fact that she didn't respond to Elkanah's question, "Why is your heart so bitter? Elkanah, where are you living? You don't know what my problem is? We're living together for 18 years, I don't have children." I mean, the whole question that Elkanah had asked her was so difficult for her to absorb. "What are you talking about? What kind of question are you asking me? You don't know my pain? What a question!" By the way, Elkanah, of course, means well. But you know, he certainly is not in the same category as Penina. But you can mean well, and it just doesn't end up being very good. When you ask your wife,
whom you know her suffering, and you ask her, why aren't you eating? Why aren't you drinking? Why do you seem to be so unhappy? Elkanah, what do you mean? She doesn't say a word. She knows there's no point. And now, here it is. You think that all of these years, hundreds of thousands of people have been coming to Shiloh? Who was one of the first who came? There were two people who came. Elkanah and Hannah. While the rest of the world didn't come to Shiloh, Elkanah and Hannah came. A few years later, it was Elkanah and Penina, and then their children. And then Elkanah began to move heaven and earth to bring all of Israel. And Eli doesn't know what her problem is. Do you know what Hannah is at this moment? She's the loneliest person on the face of this earth. There isn't a soul of all the people who are close to her. There isn't a soul that understands her. That's a horrible feeling. And from the depths of that pain, she knows that there's only one. There's only one power that can understand her. There's nobody else. And she turns to him, and he's going to answer her. It means that to whatever extent it is possible, tefillah, for it to be real, has to be a sense of total dependence on God. You have to feel that it's really in His hands. He can make all the difference. Not easy to achieve that. The Gemara says, big Gemara, long Gemara, Kama Hilchas and Gavrasa, how many great laws of prayer do we learn from Chana? The laws of Tefillah we learn from Chana, the way she prayed. We'll talk about it yet. But the most important thing is, the Kavona of Tefillah we learn from Chana. Just standing at the brink of total despair, just standing at a point where there is nowhere else in the world to turn. Nowhere. That's tefillah. So, Benny Philip, I'm in your hands completely. But Hannah, Vayomer Eliyahu, Eli, yeah, how long are you going to be drunk? Remove your wine. Vatan Hannah Vatoma. Hannah answered and she said, Lo Adoni. You know, she responds now. Why does she respond now? She didn't say a word to Elkanah. She didn't say a word to Penina. Now finally she... is it because she's had it? She's had it. She's been in the midst of such profound prayer. And you think I'm drunk? Don't you know me, Eli? I've been coming here for 18 years. I started coming here at a time that you didn't have much of a congregation coming here altogether. Vatan Chana Vatoma, Lo Adoni, no, my master. Ishok Shatruach Nochi, I'm a woman with a heavy heart, heavy spirit. V'yayin Sheikha Lo Shatiti, I did not drink wine or any intoxicating beverages. V'eshpochet Nafshilev Ne'ashem, I poured out my soul here before God. Don't consider your maidservant as an evil person. I was pouring out my words and my anger. I have spoken till now. Interesting that she refers to it as anger. She's reached the point where she's angry. By the way, that may be good. Maybe sometimes you have to become angry. I like to say that the anger can also be translated as passion. Like, I really mean it. I'm upset. The Beis Shalom, I want you to know that I'm upset. Kimerov sichi v'kasi dibati anhenot. Vayan Eli and Eli answered, Vayam and he said, Lechi l'shalom, go in peace. V'lekei Yisrael yipen et shelatech. And let the God of Israel give you that which you have asked for. Asher sha'alt me'imo, that you asked from him. Here she gets the bracha of Eli. And believe me, the bracha of Eli is also going to help her in these circumstances. Atoma, and she said, Timso shivchot kachem be'inecho, let your maidservant find favor in your eyes. Atela chayisha ledarka, and the woman went on her way. Batalchal, and she ate. Ufaneha lo hoyu lo od. The unhappy face. No more. I think this is the most amazing thing. My wife told me a story yesterday about somebody who comes to the house every so often for money, and he had to he met her in Geula and he told her that he had an operation, and before you had the operation he was very, very frightened, and he went to his Rebbe. And his Rebbe told him, it's going to be okay. From the moment that his Rebbe told him it's going to be okay, fatik! No fear or trepidation of all. At all about the operation. I mean, you have to be a real chusid. But I think that's what's happening over here. She's finished praying. She's cried her heart out. She's gotten angry with God and with Eli. And then all of a sudden, there's a calm and a peace that descends upon her. It's all over. No anger. She's smiling. She eats with relish. There's something that has happened to change her completely. Just now, it's gone through my head. I always say, I love teaching you people. I don't know why I missed the last few weeks. In Nehemiah, there's a pasuk that talks about the Hashanah, in which God says, after davening, Lech echol besimcha lachmecha. Go eat your bread in joy. That's all. You davened? Now? Like a yontif. The halach is yantiv has to be chesed Hashem, half to God and half to you. In a sense, she feels, I davened, the revelation heard, I'm confident. I have the bracha of the Rebbe, I have the Rebbe's bracha. I'm confident. Confident to the point that it's all over. The anger is past. The depression. She's not upset anymore. It's an amazing transformation that has taken place. By the way, from this passage you also see that she hadn't eaten earlier. Now she's hungry. Otherwise the passage wouldn't tell us, the passage has to tell us that she ate. She ate. Ufanel lo hoyu lo hoyu. Alright, now I'm left with a... now I'm left with a problem. Will we continue next week or not? We'll see. I'll see what to do. Yes?
Thank you so much. But for God's kind of treatment was Al-Khanah and Al-Khanah's good way of talking to
her
and not
treating her bad. Yeah, in other words, it's what Al-Khanah says that brings on all of this... Alright, but I think that what we have to learn from O'Connor more is what to say. By the way, there'll be more to say about that. Yes?
There comes a time when you have to do it yourself.
Okay. We will see this. Then maybe we'll continue yet.
I'm going to give a